the book of Romans, a very common text used for Advent, maybe never, and yet I will do it because I believe God's word is big enough to handle it, and I think there's something special he wants us to learn from it. This is Paul reminding them of God's plan, reminding them of God's goodness, reminding them of what their life is to be like now. Living in this new reality of how God is now king. He is the new Caesar, this Jesus. And so he goes on to say this, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The day is almost of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Now, how does that relate to Advent? Glad you asked. Oh, I love it. It was October, if you will, April 1971. And over the speaker, we heard this statement, "Houston, we have a problem." Apollo 13's mission had been just thwarted. An oxygen tank had apparently exploded, and their mission, they did not know what was going to happen. Their mission was to go land on the Earth, or land on the moon, and to explore their dreams, the thousands and thousands of hours of training, to one point, was gone. In one moment, they had experienced a problem that would change the course of their mission. They were known, when they finally came back and splashed down the Pacific Ocean, as a successful failure. They made it back alive. With ingenuity, with grit, with creativity, with lots of math and lots of science, they made it back. Now, why do I bring this up? Because there was a beginning known as, if you will, when the Lord says, in the beginning, God created. Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. We're thinking things are good, things are right, things are what they're supposed to be. And then how quickly things turn. Eden, we've had a problem. Apparently rebellion set in, and now God had a new mission. His mission was to rescue us. This catastrophic effort, the challenge that was ahead, it was real. Our original creation was never to be the same again. Our original mission was never to be the same again. See, God has a rescue mission, and God's rescue mission is for us, is for the whole world, is to bring us into union with him, into harmony. God's mission is for you and I to know who we are in him, to love others and be loved by others. When someone makes a mistake, we love them through it. When someone is struggling, we help them up. When someone has forgotten how good God is, we remind them. We are to be God's tangible expression. We know this because of the true story that God gave us in Jesus. I bring this up because this is how I titled the message, "The End is the Beginning." Some of you might not know, but the church has a calendar as well. Ours doesn't start in January. Ours starts in December, typically. It's known as the liturgical calendar. Advent season. This is the beginning of Advent. There's four Sundays before Christmas. And so this Sunday, we begin this Advent. Advent is about God's coming. Now we begin, if you will, the end is the beginning. The end of the year is the beginning of our year. The end is the beginning of our preparation of God coming afresh, being born in our hearts afresh. We start with hope. Then we go to love. Then we got joy. And then we go to peace. In these four seasons, or these four moments, we remember who God is and his rescue plan. It's not about, again, having it all together, that God is the hope, that he's the one who's on the rescue. The end is the beginning. That this text is actually talking about Jesus coming again, that his coming is the hope of the world. Let me bring it back again and do this understanding the present time. Now, time is a very important thing. Many of you have watches. Many of you have just phones, and that's your watch, and that's okay. But it is interesting how we kind of measure things out by watches, okay? Chronos time in the Greek, and that's important. That's how we build bridges. That's how we send people to the moon. We need that chronos time. You didn't randomly come here Sunday morning around 9-ish, 9:15, some 9:20, and that's okay. We love you no matter what. But no, you came here because we had it set up in a time. That's the chronos time. Then there's other time known as kairos or kairos. That's God's special moment. These special moments, we had one last week celebrating a baptism. These special moments where you were married or maybe you graduated from school. That moment that changed the course of your life. These special moments impact us. It's something God does that we know we're never the same because of fill in the blank. Sometimes these moments are nothing we ever wanted or ever prayed for. And we're going, God, where are you in this? You know what? He's big enough to handle your struggles. I promise you. No matter what you're going through, he's big enough. Be encouraged by that. But he says, in this present time, and he's not talking chronos here. He's talking about the present age. This new beginning that Jesus began in his resurrection. This present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. How many of us are living like we were before Christ? They're saying, he's saying, you're asleep. You've forgotten. You need to wake up to the good news. Good to see you, Dick. Good to see you, buddy. Welcome back. You need to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. He's doing something special. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Now, he uses this, if you will, as a metaphor. He goes and he starts to describe these things that people do at night compared to stuff that you would do during the day. I like to say things you would do with your grandma and things you wouldn't do with your grandma. It seems to work better when I talk to college students and I talk about how important our words are. You know, we talk about words like in the beginning. That's a big phrase. God created, another big phrase. We the people, words matter. Absolutely. These words here are huge. Don't miss this. So he's using this metaphor, if you will. Night describing things that are just not something you would do. The deeds done in darkness. Put on the armor of light. Ooh, we even have light there. How about that? Let us behave decently, as in the daytime. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and debauchery. Not in dissension and jealousy. Rather. So he doesn't just say don't do it. He actually tells us what to do. Clothe yourselves with Jesus. Now, what does that look like? It could be on a morning, remembering your baptism. It could be praying the Lord's Prayer. It could be serving at Graceway Village or Sarah's Kitchen. It could be many things, but it's about remembering who we are and whose we are and saying, God, you take control. I surrender all. Clothe yourselves with Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. There's going to be those moments. There's going to be those moments where we have no idea how to proceed. But that's when we say, Lord, your will be done. Please, Lord, your will be done. God's on a rescue mission again. Now, mission means sent one, believe it or not. Mission means sent one, that we are called to go. The mission that the Apollo 13 had, okay, they were sent somewhere. They were sent to accomplish certain things. Their mission, again, the successful failure. God will not be denied. He will not be denied. He wants us to come home. He wants us to be renewed. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be people of hope, people of light, people that when we go in our everyday comings and goings, people see Jesus. Not because we have it together, but because God's goodness works through us. And again, how do you do it? By clothing yourselves with Christ. The end is the beginning. God is calling and God is preparing, and he is calling us to wake up from our slumber, to wake up and be the people God imagines us already becoming. Lots going on there. I'd like to give this to you, if you will. This declaration I'm going to end with the next four Sundays. So if you come in the very last bit, you'll know what we're doing. You'll get caught up. Christ was born. It actually happened in history. We have so many historical evidence for that. Christ has died. He died a real death. Dead people really stayed dead, by the way, back in the day, just like they do today. And yet, Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This proclamation is something I'm going to ask that if you're not comfortable saying it, that's okay. You don't have to. No one's going to look to the right or look to the left. But I'm going to ask you to proclaim this as well. So together, may we read this. May we proclaim this. Christ was born. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen.